This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Have you noticed that as we age, things on us or in us stop working properly? We can't seem to do all the things we used to do, at least not at the same speed or for as long. So our beloved physician, someone we've trusted for years, suggests that we start getting screened for various ailments. Good idea? Bad idea? Let's talk with our own beloved physician, cardiologist Dr. James Markham, about aging, screening, and how to protect ourselves in the years ahead. Dr. Markham, to screen or not to screen? That is the question for today. What say you?
Yeah, well, Charles, you know, it's a real bummer getting old, you know. not so much for the actual age, as I love the wisdom and experience that comes with aging, but there is definitely wear and tear on the body. Mm-hmm. For instance, for me personally, you know, my feet hurt in the morning. I need special glasses to see. I sometimes find more hair growing in my ears than on my head, you know. I'm like a board. My flexibility, never a strong point, continues to wane, and the list goes on and on and on. Well, screenings, you're going to hear about it all over, and I wanted to talk about it to our listeners because a lot of people hear about them, and a lot of people are making money off these, sometimes appropriately, sometimes inappropriately. Mm-hmm. You hear about these life care screenings that check everything in the world. Mm-hmm. But I want to sort of give a framework for everyone, myself, you, and all of our listeners to sort of think about screenings. And the way I think about it, Charles, I look at, you know, all the different things that can kill somebody, mm-hmm. you know, and that's an important list. For instance, heart disease is a big killer. Cancer, big killer. Accidents kill people, lung disease. And then I say, well, what are things that we can pick up if detected at an early age might be able to avert one of these adverse problems? Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few things that people look at, and there's some things that I'm going to look at today and talk to people that they might not even think about. Now, there are recommendations out there from our beloved physicians. There's numerous recommendations, and these are what we're hearing today are my recommendations, and everyone has different recommendations, but these are just mine as a physician who has done this for years. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot about the cancer, you know, and that includes colonoscopy, mammograms, and I must admit, it's better to catch a condition early rather than late in the game. But we're seeing more and more in the literature and in health across America. I've been scanning these, and now the recommendations are constantly changing. For instance, prostate has changed dramatically. We're not even recommending screening with routine PSA unless you have risk of prostate cancer. So when things are changing so quickly, you realize, well, you know, where's the truth in all this? And are the screenings really worth it? So I'm just going to give people, a lot of people, things to think about regards topics. Now, first of things, some things that people don't think about as screenings that I like to mention. Are you wearing a seatbelt? You know, that's something we screen for.
That's self-screening, basically.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people don't realize, but that is a risk. People die when they're not wearing the seatbelts. In fact, motor vehicle accidents in younger groups are probably one of the leading causes of death. So if a young person's out there, one of the screenings, I want to make sure that they understand that you know, screenings, they should be wearing their seatbelts. What about in the younger population, texting? Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of people texting in cars. Well, that's, you know, we could put that on our screening list. Yeah, I could ask them, are you texting as a screening question as a risk of death? Because we know that people that text in a car have a higher incidence of death than joining this list of things that kill us. People don't even think about that. Another thing that I'd like to throw out there, Charles, and this is probably something that you pay close attention to, is do people wash their hands? You know, frequent hand washing that lowers the risk of spreading infection from person to person. So these are some things things that, you just people just don't necessarily think about. They think about the cancer and some of these other screenings, but these are also risks of people that might have at different ages. Things that, you know, are you doing dangerous activities? Another thing I like to screen for is mental health. And I always ask them in the office, are you been happy? What have you been doing for fun? And if they have a problem answering those questions, then I might start screening for depression and anxiety. Now, what's interesting when you talk about these type of screenings, don't involve a lot of money.
Yeah.
They don't involve a lot of research, but yet we know from the data that they are causes of death, and yet they're not emphasized in screening programs. So screening for mental health, when up to 1 in 4 people have it, you know, suicide is a risk. If you can pick up depression at an early age or anxiety at an early age, you might prevent a lot of downhill problems.
Now, how do you self-screen for depression? I mean, do you ask yourself, how do I feel today?
You know, I sort of look at a patient and I'll ask them, you know, have you been happy lately?
Okay.
And if they say no, what have you been doing for fun? And if they don't have any answer to that, then I start exploring some more. Are you sleeping well at night? Do you feel like you have friends? Are you eating well? You know, do you feel like life doesn't have any purpose? And then I sort of work through those questions to see if they might indeed be depressed.
Yes.
And you know, depression is not a blood test. It's sort of a screening test of a bunch of questions. When they meet that criteria, they might have depression.
Yeah.
And then it might be something as simple as, you know, just counseling with them, you know, cheering them up. It might be something that they could be treated by getting outside and exercising or being exposed to vitamin D or the right food mix. So just because you screen for it doesn't mean the treatment always ends up in a medication or is in something terrible. So you know, so when screening, those are the sort of things I think about, as well as some of these big screenings. And I know the big screenings are out there, but let's talk about some of the big ones here for a little while. What are some of the big screeners? Well, high blood pressure.
Yes.
You know, that's very important to screen for, because we know that that's a silent killer. Raise the chance of you dying of heart disease, stroke, and vascular disease. So that should be screened. That's not very expensive. You just go to the store or get a cuff, put it around you. If your blood pressure is below 140 on the top, which is the systolic, or below 90, you're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
If it's up there every single time, then you might say, I might have high blood pressure. You've screened for something and you might need to do something about it. Not everyone screens for high blood pressure, but you should be having that screened on a regular basis. Another important screener is high cholesterol. And these are both known that we screen for those and do something about earlier, we can save life.
Mm-hmm.
High cholesterol is a measure of heart disease. It's a measure of stroke. And yet we measure high blood pressure and high cholesterol, Charles, but I want to add another screening. We need to screen for people that are obese and sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For instance, obesity and sedentary are things that we don't like to talk about, but if they are test positive for their screenings, they're at a higher risk of developing high blood pressure, high cholesterol,
yeah,
and all these other problems.
Yeah.
So as part of a screening mechanism, you have to admit, you know, I'd like to talk to myself, you know, there's extra weight, you know, this is something that might improve your health, even though you don't have a problem now,
mm-hmm,
we might prevent it downstream. So
mm-hmm,
I consider that a part of a screening profile. Also, we know that sedentary lifestyles lead to a lot of other illnesses down the road too. So I like to screen for that as well. Notice so far, we've talked about a lot of different screenings and how many of them have cost any money.
Yeah.
How many of them have talked about these glorious things that you always see, these cancer screenings. We haven't even talked about that yet. Okay. We're going to talk about these.
Yeah.
So when you screen for all these things, I want our listeners, these are talking about an awareness, because sometimes an awareness of the potential problems that can motivate us and encourage us to make lifestyle changes that can affect our global chemistry, so we might not have extra weight or diabetes or these other early interventions, so we don't have to get into riskier interventions that don't necessarily fix the problems.
Dr. Markham, let me ask you about the cholesterol screening. Now, I have seen,
yeah,
where you can order this kit and it comes in the mail and you take a little blood from your finger and you send this thing in and you get a report back from the lab of all kinds of things, your blood sugar, your cholesterol, etc. Are these things sufficient for doing screening, self-screening?
Well, you know, I think it's according to how reliable you think they are. Mm-hmm. I think it's much more reliable to go to your doctor who knows a lab that's tested and true get your cholesterol checked there. Uh-huh. But doing this is better than nothing, okay? If that's all they can afford or that's what they want to do, yes, I think it's a reasonable thing to check the cholesterol, especially if it's going to lead to some type of change.
Yes.
Diabetes screening is important too, especially if you're in risk factors for that. So these are all types of screenings. I know we're going to talk more about cancer screenings later on, but these are all important. Now, my son, for instance, he went to the doctor the other day, the pediatrician, and you know, he screened him to make sure he was growing appropriately, make sure he was getting enough sleep at night. He screened for that because that was a health risk. He also made sure he had a tetanus vaccine. Mm-hmm. And this was recommended for almost every age, every 10 years, to have a tetanus vaccine. Make sure he was up to date on that booster. And vaccines are another thing that's screened for. I don't recommend a lot of vaccines, but tetanus is one that I do. Some people later in life might benefit from having the zoster vaccine, which is, you know, if you haven't had chicken pox, you get this, you know, this rash all over your body that's not good. That's one that I do recommend if you have a risk factor for that. So certain things that you're at high risk for, you might benefit from having screening for vaccinations. Another thing that he screened Jake for, he says, Jake, do you always wear your seatbelt in your car?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, do you do anything that's dangerous, you know, that's not very careful? He also screened for something very interesting. He says, how much TV do you watch?
Interesting.
So he associated with television watching as affecting mental health. Of course, Jake doesn't watch TV, so he did well with that, but that's not the case for everyone.
Yes.
If someone said, I watch 6 or 7 hours, I think the next question, well, what type of program do you watch? Because we know that as a man thinketh, so he is. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching 4 or 5 violent programs or this, you might pick up some of those thinking tendencies, which might affect you later on in life. So these are all very valuable, you know, things in screening that, not necessarily looks at cancer. So I'm going to talk about that after we get off the break here. We'll talk about the cancer screenings.
Absolutely. These are things that we can do ourselves and don't cost a lot of money. The doctor can do them for us yearly on a regular basis during a regular call in to the doctor or visit to the doctor. This is fantastic advice. I appreciate this. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, more with Dr. James Markham about how we can screen for what ails us. So stay right where you are.
Yahoo! Come on in, Rico. The water's great.
I will. I'm just making sure I get enough vitamin D.
Vitamin D? We're at a swimming pool, not a drugstore.
I know that. But do you see that big thing up there in the sky?
You mean the hawk?
No, the big bright thing there above the trees.
Nothing up there but the sun.
Exactly.
So what's the sun got to do with vitamin D?
Everything. When the sunshine hits my skin, my body takes those beautiful rays and turns them into vitamin D.
And that's a good thing?
Absolutely. Vitamin D helps my body fight disease and reduces the pain of sore muscles and stiff joints.
You sound like a TV advertisement.
Well, somebody needs to advertise a good thing about sunlight. Most people are afraid of it. They smear sunblock all over their bodies, stay indoors, and treat sunshine like it was poison.
Hey, I don't want to burn.
Scientists say we need to all enjoy up to 30 minutes of direct sunlight each and every day. That will safely provide us with all the vitamin D we need to give our skin a nice, healthy glow.
But what about in the winter when this pool's an ice skating rink?
Then you go to the drugstore and buy some vitamin D pills. But the best way to stay healthy is to sit in the summer sun.
Well, then count me in. I'm going to plop down right here beside you and work on my healthy glow. Are you happy now?
Well, not really.
Why?
You're blocking my sun.
Oh, sorry.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. James Markham of Heartwise Ministries, and I invite you to their website, heartwiseministries.org, for information about how you can be healthier than you are. We all want to be healthier than we are. One of the ways we can do that, one of the ways we can make sure that we are on the right track is screening, screening for the potential for problems or for the problems that exist. And Dr. Markham has outlined several ways of doing that. Many of them we can do on our own without even going to see a doctor, but sometimes we need to go see the doctor for some good advice and follow-up, and that's very important. And I can't think of a more important follow-up than screening for cancer, Dr. Markham. What's your word on this for us?
Yeah, that's the one that makes the news most recently. And recently, you know, you've heard things about prostate cancer, lung cancer, yeah, breast cancer, all these other cancer screenings. You know, what bothers me is we don't screen as much for the risk factors, you know. So before I talk about cancer screenings, I want to talk about the risk factors for cancer. Maybe we should screen for those.
Absolutely.
Are you a person that smokes, which increases the risk of lung cancer? Are you a person that eats a high-fat diet, including lots of meats, which increase the risk of colon cancer? Are you a person that burns out in the sun, which increases the risk of skin cancer? Do you have a family history of cancer, which can be passed on genetically? Are you having lots of estrogen in your body, which an extra weight on the body, which increases the risk of breast cancer? All of these things are screening tests that help, I think, more than even the test does, because it help might prevent the problem.
Yes.
So in screening for cancers, I want to also screen patients and ask ourselves, do we have the risk factors which might predispose to this? That is so important because that determines who is at the most benefit from having these screening tests.
Well, I like that, because sometimes we're afraid to go in, yes, and find out what's wrong with us, but we can also not be afraid to go and find out what potentially could be wrong with us and turn it around.
Yeah. And the reason, let me give an example. You know, if you smoke cigarettes, okay, and have a family history of lung disease, you're going to benefit the most for screening for lung cancer.
Yes, yes.
You might benefit from having a CAT scan of your chest. However, if you've never smoked cigarettes, if you've never had any problems with that, you're going to benefit very little from having a screening test and taking the risk of radiation for lung cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about prostate cancer. You know, prostate testing in men, the PSA. There's no good study that shows that prostate screening via a PSA saves lives. Mm. In fact, across America, the American Urological Association raised its screening guidelines for all sorts of prostate from 40 to age 55.
Hmm.
So at age 55, men should make an informed decision. Now, this is the recommendations by the society about the potential risk and benefits of a biopsy and surgical side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And the side effects of a biopsy could be an infection, incontinence, you know, can't go to the bathroom well, and everyone knows the word impotent.
Yeah.
There's also, in screening for cancer, a 1.5% chance of death from the treatment that might subsequently follow.
Ooh.
So if you look at the statistics just for prostate cancer, 1 in 30 men die of prostate cancer, okay,
uh-huh,
while 1 in 6 get diagnosed with the condition.
Huh.
So many men die with prostate cancer not causing the death.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and a 2011 study, since this is such hot across America, a 2011 study, Charles, compared men from 55 to 60, screened and not screened over 10 years, okay?
Uh-huh.
To save one life from prostate cancers, doctors had to screen 1,000 men for 10 years, okay? So 4 out of the 1,000 screened died of prostate cancer, compared to 5 out of 1,000 unscreened men. So that's one death, okay?
Yeah.
So they quote this as a 20% reduction in mortality, okay? But the debate continues as to whether screening in the masses is beneficial. Now, if a person has a strong family history of prostate cancer, that's a whole different story. So I think you're seeing what I'm saying, you know, as far as screening. It is really dependent on the person, their risk factors. I would rather screen for their risk. Let's talk about colon cancer for a second.
Okay.
This is the second leading cause of death in America. And it's been traditionally recommended to have screenings at age 50. That's if there's no family history.
Right.
If there's a family history, you start 10 years earlier. However, colonoscopy is not the only effective way to screen. Sometimes you can just test the bowel movements to see if there's blood in it. Mm-hmm. You can also do a less risky test where they don't look up in the entire colon. Now, when we talk about these, we talk about colonoscopy, and I think colonoscopy screening is beneficial. If a person eats a high-fat diet, have a family history, I think they need a colonoscopy. However, I think the option should be given on someone that's 52 years old that eats a really healthy diet. Maybe you don't need a colonoscopy because they said screening the stool for blood is just as effective. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying
yes,
here?
Yes.
So
yes.
Sometimes, you know, it's more than the simplest things. It's looking at the entire person. You can't really make these recommendations for screenings for everyone because everyone has a different makeup. Now, let's talk a little bit about something that's very popular, mammography.
Yes.
That's the screening for breast cancer. Okay. Debate continues. Is it better treatment or is it better diagnosis that's actually lowering the rate of breast cancer? Okay. Because, you know, breast cancer rates have gone down. If on a self-screening examination, that's where the woman looks herself, a lump is fine, no doubt. This needs to be immediately evaluated. Mm-hmm. Every woman needs to screen their breast themselves for lumps. But the current screening recommendations is yearly screening for women over 40. Now, that's per the American Cancer Societies. Now, without a breast cancer family history, no obesity or cigarettes, okay, it's more than reasonable to have baseline screening at 40, okay? If all this is normal, then the next time they need to check it, it's 45, 50, and every other year until 70. Now, that's if they're in the low-risk group. Now, of course, if you're in a high-risk group, okay, you're going to need more checking on that. But the basics is checking for masses in the breast. What's the risk of mammograms? Well, they do emit radiation. Mm-hmm. Another hot topic in screening for breast cancer is genetic cancer testing. We now can look at the genes, Charles. We can look at the genes to see if they might have the genetic mutation that raises breast cancer. And you hear of some of these high-risk people, they actually get treatment way before get the breast cancer. So that's another treatment that's going to come. So if a person has breast cancer early in a family history and they're a female, a reasonable thing is not to check for lumps. In that person, they might want to get genetic testing to see if they're at the highest risk. And that might change not only their lifestyle, but a lot of things that they're doing. So in screening for cancer, Charles, I think it's very, very important that we look at the risk factors. We realize that one type of screening recommendation doesn't fit all, especially for prostate, colon, lungs, even pap smears. That's a screening test that's recommended. But a lot of it depends on the family history and the risk. So I think that patients are becoming more involved. They're learning more about this. Everyone knows about the cancer risk, but the basic things like the screening for depression, screening for obesity, those things that we don't think about. One of the things I like to do, and as we finish, I want to talk about this just for a little while, is screening for someone's spirituality. This is probably the most important screening test I do in my office. And the way I do that, you know, you don't have a lot of time to screen, but you can ask, are you feeling good about your relationship with God, or do you have a relationship with God? Because that leads to ultimate healing. And some people, you know, they don't believe in God, and we don't even go down that ride, but I do screen for that. And if they don't have a healthy relationship with God, or they don't start a relationship, I bring that up. I say, you know what? As you have a healthy relationship with God, whether that be going to church or reading the Bible, praying, helping other people, going out in nature, that I can show you some scientific proof that helps build your chemistry, helps you think better, helps you love better, helps bring down stress, helps lower the risk of mental disease. So this I put as just as important as screening for this colonoscopy, breast cancer, seat belts, hand washing, you know, cigarettes, screening for all those things, but also screen for someone's spiritual life. And if someone's never even thought about God, then I scream, I say, you know, give God a chance. And here's some ways that you might be able to do that. And I list, you know, you might go read the Bible. God will find you. Go to your local church. Go to our website. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, there's some examples of how a person might get this type of help if this is a screening they want to go to. So I think that is one new twist I would like to add to screening today.
Absolutely.
Have you screened your spiritual health?
I tell you what, these are words of wisdom from our friend Dr. James Markham today. Thank you, Dr. Markham, for sharing with us. We have a new way of doing things here. We can start that self-screening process. We know what to ask our doctor now, and we know absolutely that we need to go to that master physician also in that screening process. Thank you, Dr. Markham.
You're welcome, Charles.
Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. James Markham, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.